This week is Parshas Ha'azinu, and we will focus our shir on chapter 32, verse number 44. There, after Moshe Rabbeinu finished saying the whole song of Azinu, the verse writes down, Vayava Moshe Rabbeinu came, Vaydaber es kol divrei ha'shiro hazois, and he spoke all the words of this shiro, of this song, Ba'ozneyam, in the ears of the people, who he, Vehoshea binun, and Hoshea binun. Rashi is bothered by a very important question. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis 21b, says that two people are not allowed to read on the Torah together, because since two voices cannot be heard properly, therefore two people are not allowed to read together the Torah. Then how is it possible that here it's written that he and Hoshea binun spoke those words? It should be impossible. Therefore Rashi brings from the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis 13b that Shabbos shel du zuge hoiso. It was a Shabbos of two pairs, meaning since we know traditionally that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos, that's why we say by Mincha Tzidkos Chotzedek that your justice is true, in order to remind us that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos. That Shabbos that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away was a Shabbos of two pairs. And the Gemara says that Nitla Rishus Mizeh, it was taken away the permission to discourse publicly from this one, meaning from Moshe Rabbeinu, that he had no more permission to teach the Jewish people publicly. V'nitna lezeh, and it was given to this one, meaning it was given to Yeshua, that Yeshua from now on will give the discourses publicly. And according to Rashi, when it says that it was a Shabbos of two pairs, meaning that in the same day, in the beginning of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the learning, gave the discourses, and in the end of the day, Yeshua gave the discourses. Rashi adds from the Sifri that Moshe Rabbeinu also put in front of Yeshua a meturgeman, an interpreter. In the old days, there was a person that read the Torah and one that interpreted what is written, and that showed honor to Yeshua, and he did that in order that in the future people should not belittle Yeshua by claiming that he is disqualified from carrying the leadership, since while Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, he could not lift his head, meaning he could not say a word. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu established in his lifetime a meturgeman, an interpreter for Yeshua, in order to afford them honor, and in order that everybody should see that even in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua is qualified to speak. And Rashi continues from the Sifri and says that this is also the reason why it's written here Hoshea, meaning that after Moshe Rabbeinu had changed the name in Parsha Shlach, in Bamidbar chapter 13, verse 16, from Hoshea binun to Yeshua, it should be Yeshua. Why is it reverting back to Hoshea? Rashi answers that this is to teach you that even though Yeshua was afforded this great honor, that now he is speaking in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, nonetheless, it did not get to his head. He was still the same Hoshea binun that it was before he achieved this greatness, meaning he was still humble as before Moshe Rabbeinu changed his name. And the Sifri brings two other people that acted the same way. One of them is Yosef HaTzadik, where in Shmos chapter 1, verse number 5, it's written that Yosef Hoyba Mitzrayim, Yosef was in Egypt. Don't we know that Yosef was in Egypt? Why does the Torah have to tell me that Yosef was in Egypt? The Sifri answers that the Torah is telling you that even though Yosef became king, he was still the same old Yosef as he was before when he was a shepherd to his father's sheep. Even though now he became king, he did not let this go to his head. In the same way also that in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 17, verse number 14, it's written that David, who are cotton, that David is the youngest, The question is, why do you have to tell me again that David is the youngest? We know that David was the youngest. The answer is that even though David has been appointed as king over Israel, nonetheless he helped himself humble as he was before when he was the youngest of the brothers. And the Yalkut Mamloes adds from this Sifri that Yeshua learned this humbleness from Moshe and Aharon, when Moshe and Aharon said, "V'nachnu ma, what are we that you are arguing against us?" Even though they were great leaders and they spoke to Hashem, nonetheless they held themselves humble, and that is the character trait that Yeshua learned, that even though now he was given the mantle of being the next one to guide the Jewish people, nonetheless he held himself as the Hoshea ben Nun, as the same person before he got all this honor. The Vilna Gaon and the Ramban on chapter 31, verse 19, and the Barbanel, they all hold that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that spoke the Shira by himself, but they hold that Yehoshua was the Meturgeman, that he was the interpreter of the Shira. When it's written here that he and Hoshea ben Nun, means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who spoke the Shira, but Hoshea ben Nun is the one that interpreted and explained the Shira to the Jewish people. And the Vilna Gaon adds that this could be the reason why it's not written the complete name of Yehoshua, and it's written only Hoshea, to teach you that Yehoshua was tofel leMoshe, that he was subordinate to Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't think that here Yehoshua is equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua is still subordinate to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he didn't speak in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that spoke the Shira, but Yehoshua wasn't in the same level. Therefore, they removed a letter from Yeshua's name to teach you that he was not completely as equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ralbag believes in the same idea that Yeshua was the Meturgeman, he was the interpreter of Moshe Rabbeinu's word, and he says that this is the reason why the Torah here is emphasizing the name of Yehoshua as Hoshea ben Nun, to teach you that the prophecy here only came to Moshe Rabbeinu, but Yehoshua here was at the same level as he was 38 years before, where his name was still Hoshea. Don't think that Yehoshua now here has got prophecy and he is in the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is emphasizing by putting the name Hoshea ben Nun to teach you that the prophecy here only came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hoshea or Yehoshua is in the same level as he was 38 years before, where his name was Hoshea ben Nun. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh disagrees with this opinion. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh believes that Moshe Rabbeinu alone spoke this Shira, because in this pasuk itself it's written, "Vayavoy Moshe." Moshe Rabbeinu came, "Vayedaber es kol divrei haShira hazois," and he spoke the whole words of this Shira in the ears of the people, who Hoshea ben Nun, he and Hoshea ben Nun. But since it's written "Vayedaber" in the singular verb, meaning that he spoke, and it's not written "Vayedabru" in the plural verb, which would mean that they spoke, meaning that Yehoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, therefore the Rachaim says that all that Yehoshua did was stand next to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that spoke completely this Shira, because it's written in the singular, but Hoshea ben Nun, Yehoshua, was standing next to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Or HaChaim explains that the reason that is written here Hoshea ben Nun and not Yehoshua is that since Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that changed the name of Hoshea to Yehoshua, because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to elevate Yehoshua by giving him honor, by giving him greatness, it is not proper now that he is standing next to Moshe Rabbeinu that the Torah should utilize that honor next to Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning that in next to Moshe Rabbeinu, he should always be Hoshea ben Nun. In front of the people, he is Yehoshua ben Nun. But since now he's standing right next to Moshe Rabbeinu, it is unseemly for the Torah to give him that title when he's standing right next to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Malbum has an interesting idea, and he believes that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke this Shira 3 times, and Yeshua spoke it 1 time. He brings on chapter 31, verse number 22, where there it says, "Va'yichtev Moshe Sashira Azois Bayom Ahu." Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that Shira in that day, "Va'yelamdo Es Bnei Yisrael," and he taught the Jewish people. That was 1 time that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. Then on pasuk number 30 says, "Va'daber Moshe Ozne Kol Kal Yisrael." Moshe Rabbeinu spoke in the ears of the Jewish people as Divrei Hashira Azois, this Shira at Tumam until the end, which seems to imply that he spoke the whole Shira. And then in this parsha where he spoke again the Shira in the ears of the Jewish people, said that was 3 times that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke the Shira. And then he says the 4th time Yeshua spoke the Shira, meaning that the Jewish people heard this Shira 4 times, 3 times from the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. The 4th time came from Yeshua bin Nun. Therefore, when the Torah says that he spoke and Hoshea bin Nun spoke, means that both spoke the Shira, but not together. They spoke separately. That Moshe Rabbeinu spoke this Shira 3 times. He taught the Jewish people 3 times. And the 4th time, Yeshua is the one who said it. The Panim Yafus tries to answer an interesting idea, and he answers this idea because he is also bothered by the question of Rashi that it is impossible that Moshe and Yeshua spoke this Shira, because as the Gemara has mentioned previously, says that 2 people are not allowed to read the Torah together. Therefore, the Panim Yafus says that Efsher Loimer, we could say maybe that Moshe Rabbeinu had a portion of the Jewish people and he spoke the Shira in front of them, and Yeshua also had a portion of the Jewish people and he spoke in front of them, meaning that when it's written there he and Yeshua spoke, doesn't mean that he spoke in front of everybody. It means that Yeshua took a group of people and spoke in front of them the Shira, and Moshe Rabbeinu took a group of people and spoke in front of them the Shira, but they did not speak together. The Targum Yonison ben Uziel on Parshas Shlach, where Moshe Rabbeinu changed Hoshea bin Nun's name to Yehoshua, there the Targum Yonison ben Uziel says, "Katchome Moshe amvesenusei," when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the humility of Hoshea bin Nun, "Koro Yoshmei Yehoshua," he called them Yehoshua. Normally, the interpretation is that Moshe Rabbeinu saw how humble Yehoshua is. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that Yeshua is going to succumb to the corrupt ideas of the spies. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu added a letter Yud and prayed for Yeshua that he should not succumb to the spies. But the Divrei David seems to say exactly the opposite. The Divrei David seems to say that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the humility of Yeshua, meaning he realized the lack of humility of Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that Yeshua is going to join the spies, that he's going to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, because Yeshua already heard the prophecy of Eldad Imedad on Parshas Balo Yischo Bamidbar, chapter 11, verse number 27, that Moshe Rabbeinu will die and Yeshua is going to bring him into Eretz Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that because of Yeshua's lack of humility, Yeshua may join the spies in order for him to become the leader. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu added the Yud to Yeshua's name to make him more humble. And the interpretation of Targum Yonason ben Uziel is as follows, that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu saw the humility of Yeshua bin Nun, meaning the lack of humility of Yeshua, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu added the Yud that he should not succumb to the advice of the spies. And Oysius, the Rabbi Akiva, explains that the Yud is the smallest letter in the Jewish alphabet. The Yud denotes humility. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was infusing humility to Yeshua, that Yeshua should have humility and not rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. According to this, the Divrei David says that since now at this juncture Yeshua is going to become king, he is going to be a leader, And it's not proper for a leader to be humble. A leader should not be too humble, because a leader is supposed to lead the people by force if necessary. Therefore, at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu was removing the extra youth, the extra humility on Yeshua, because Yeshua did not need to be humble anymore. He could be a little haughty, because a leader is supposed to be strong and is supposed to be a little haughty. The Pardas Yosef says exactly the opposite. The Pardas Yosef says that since Moshe Rabbeinu realized that even though Yeshua became the leader and he was not haughty, he was humble, as we mentioned, that he stood in Moshe Rabbeinu's side and he didn't let the position reach his head. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he doesn't have to put the extra protection on Yeshua anymore, because Yeshua now could stay on his own feet, that he could be the old Hoshea ben Nun, but he already has learned the lessons of humility, because now that he's the leader and he's still humble, it wasn't necessary at this point to put the Yud in his name, because he doesn't need the extra humility. He is already humble by himself. According to this interpretation of the Divrei David, I wanted to say that the reason that it's written here, Hoshea ben Nun, is quite opposite, and it's coming to tell you what is written the Gemara in Temura, Daf Tezayin Omed Aleph 16a. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yudah Omar Rav. Rav Yudah says in the name of Rav, Beshoshe Niftar Moshe Rabbeinu LeGan Eden, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away to go to Gan Eden, Omar Loi Lo Yeshua, he asked Yeshua, Shalmi many kol sfeikus sheyeshlach. Please ask me all the questions that you have, any doubts that you have, please ask, because I'm about to die. Omar Loi, Yeshua answers to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi, Plim inachticho sho achas volachti lamokom achar, did I ever leave you even for a moment and go somewhere else? The Torah himself testifies in chapter 33, verse 11, that Mesharso Yeshua ben Nun Nar, that the servant Yeshua ben Nun, the lad, Lo Yomish mitoicha oil, never left the tent. Meaning Yeshua was saying that since he never left the house of study, he never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu knows, he knows. The Gemara says, Miyat toshash koicho shel Yeshua, right away the strength of Yeshua got weakened, and he forgot 300 alachos, and it was created to him 700 doubts, and so forth. The Gemara goes on there what happened, how Osniel ben Knaz was able to clarify those doubts and reacquire those alachos. Rashi explains that the reason that Yeshua forgot these alachos was shegoram la'achlish datoy shel Moshe, that he caused heartache for Moshe Rabbeinu, shenistar Moshe al Yeshua ba'atzmoy shel godol kamoisoy, that Moshe Rabbeinu had pain on Yeshua, that Yeshua is just as great as him. The truth is that if we give this interpretation of Rashi, we have a problem, because Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Pinchas, Remes, Tov, Shin, Ayin, Vav, there it says, Omar Rabbi Yossi Barab Chanina, Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rab Chanina, says, Bakoil Adam Miskane, a person is jealous of other people, Chutz Mibnoi V'Talmidoi, besides his son and his student, meaning that a father is not jealous on his son. If the son surpasses him or the son matches him, the father is not jealous. The same thing a teacher to a student, that if a student surpasses the teacher or the student is equal to the teacher, then the rabbi is very proud and is not jealous. Then how can we say that Moshe Rabbeinu here, Cholash Dato, he became disheartened because he thought Yeshua was equal to him? Quite opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu should be proud that Yeshua is equal to him. Therefore, I wanted to explain that Rashi means to say something else. Rashi means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu had Chalishas Das, he had disheartenment, because Yeshua thought he is equal to him. Moshe Rabbeinu really knew that Yeshua is not equal to him. But the fact that Yeshua had the chutzpah to think that he achieved the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, he achieved the level of the person that spoke to Hashem, that really gave Moshe Chalishas Adas, gave Moshe Rabbeinu disheartened. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu became upset of Yeshua's thinking that he is in the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. According to this Gemara, and according to what the Divrei David explained, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to add the Yud, because Yeshua was haughty, meaning that Hoshea bin Nun was haughty, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to infuse humility to Yeshua, it could be that this is exactly what the Torah is hinting here. The Torah is hinting that at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Yeshua was still haughty, because it's written, who, the Hoshea bin Nun, that he and Hoshea bin Nun, that Hoshea bin Nun still believed he is in the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it's specifically written Hoshea bin Nun, to show that he hasn't learned the lessons of humility yet, that unfortunately he is still haughty, that he believes is the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, as witnessed in the Gemara in Tbura Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph that we mentioned. The Chidah explains that the reason that it's written here Hoshea bin Nun and not Yeshua bin Nun, missing the Yud, is the same reason that in the Pasuk in Nehemiah, Perik Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, chapter 8, verse 17, it's written Yeshua bin Nun, missing the He. There the Pasuk says, Vayasu kol ha-kol ha-shovim min ha-shevi sukois, that the whole congregation that came back from the captivity did sukois, meaning in the days of Ezra they did sukois. The pasuk continues, Vayeshvu basukois, and they dwell in sukois. Ki lo yasu mimei Yeshua bin Nun kein bnei Israel ad ayom azeh, that the Jewish people didn't do so from the days of Yeshua bin Nun until this day. Vatehi simcha gadoila, and there was a great happiness. Meaning that the pasuk is saying that the Jewish people did sukois at the time of Ezra, which they didn't do since the days of Yeshua bin Nun, and they were very happy for doing this mitzvah of sukkah. There Yeshua bin Nun is written missing the hay. It's written yud shin vav ayin, it's missing the hay. The Gemara in Erchin, Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis 32b, discusses this pasuk, and the Gemara there asks a question. Efsher bo David velo yasu sukois ad shebo Ezra, it's possible that David HaMelech didn't do sukois until Ezra came? Because the pasuk says that the people didn't do sukois since the days of Yeshua. After Yeshua, there were a lot of holy people. There was Shmuel HaNavi, there was the time of David HaMelech. How is it possible that the people did not do sukois? How is it possible that Shmuel HaNavi or David HaMelech did not implement to the people to do the mitzvah of sukkahs? How is that possible? The Gemara answers according to one interpretation that the boyer rachme al yetzer davoy de zara ubotlei, that they prayed on the yetzer hara of idolatry and they were able to cancel it. The agins chusa alei kisukah, and the merit of Ezra protected them as a sukkah. As when you are in a sukkah, in a hut, you are protected from all four sides, so too Ezra protected them from the evil inclination of idolatry. The story about the evil inclination of idolatry is in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Dalad Amud Aleph 64a, where there the Gemara explains that after the Jewish people came back from exile, they saw the evil inclination of idolatry still around, and they realized that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the sin of idolatry. And the rabbis were worried that if the evil inclination of idolatry remains unchecked, that the people will not be able to overcome it, and again we will lose the temple. The rabbis then said that the only reason that Hashem sent such a strong evil inclination is in order for us to get reward when we overcome it. The rabbi said, Loi I boinen, we don't want the evil inclination of idolatry. Veloi agre boinen, And we don't want the reward for overcoming the evil inclination of idolatry. The Gemara continues that they prayed 3 days and they were able to get the evil inclination of idolatry. And the Gemara there goes in more details what they did with the evil inclination of idolatry and how they tried to destroy also the evil inclination of immorality. But nonetheless, we see from that Gemara that they were able to destroy the evil inclination of idolatry. According to this, the Gemara here in Erchin, Daf Lamed Beis, explains that this is what is meant by this pasuk, that they didn't do sukkos from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Meaning that since the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they had idolatry and they weren't able to eradicate the evil inclination of idolatry until the time of Ezra, where Ezra was able to destroy the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination of idolatry, and that protected the people as a sukkah, as a closed house, that they don't have desire anymore to do idolatry. The Gemara goes on to explain why specifically are we upset if Yehoshua, meaning if you are talking now about the evil inclination of idolatry, that evil inclination of idolatry was around since the time of creation, since the time of Adam Arishon, we had the evil inclination of idolatry. Then why specifically is the pasuk saying that they didn't do it from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun? And the Gemara also is going to explain why is written Yehoshua missing the hay. Everywhere it's written Yehoshua, Yud, Hey, Vav, Shin, Ayin. And here Yehoshua is written missing the hay. The Gemara says that I understand that Moshe Rabbeinu could not annul the evil inclination of idolatry because Moshe Rabbeinu never stepped into Eretz Yisrael and he didn't have the merit of being in Eretz Yisrael, and in order to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry, you have to have the merit of being in Eretz Yisrael. But Yehoshua, since Yehoshua had the merit of coming into Eretz Yisrael, why didn't he pray that the evil inclination of idolatry should be abolished? Why didn't he pray to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry? And since Yehoshua did not think to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry, that is why Nehemiah is blaming Yehoshua for the evil inclination of idolatry. The pasuk is blaming Yehoshua for not praying to Hashem to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry. Meaning the pasuk is saying that they weren't able to be protected from the evil inclination of idolatry from the days of Yehoshua, because Yehoshua should have prayed that they should be protected from the evil inclination of idolatry, and he didn't. Therefore, it's viewed as Yehoshua was the one that brought the evil inclination of idolatry. And because he didn't do his full job, meaning that he did not cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry, therefore Nehemiah removed the hay from his name. That Yehoshua, there it's written, missing the hay, meaning his name is incomplete because he didn't do a complete job. Had he done a complete job, then we would not have the evil inclination of idolatry. Since he didn't do a complete job, therefore we wrote his name incomplete, that we removed the hay from his name. The Chida explains that this is the same reason why they took away now the Yud from his name. Meaning, since Parshas Hazino, the Shira there, talks about the Jewish people leaving God and doing idolatry, because in verse number 15 it says, Vaishman Yeshurun Vaivot, that Yeshurun became fat and kicked. Shomanto Ovisa Koshiso, you became fat, you became thick, you became corpulent. Vaitosh Elokao So, and he deserted the God that made him. Vainabel Tzur Yeshuoso, and was contentious to the rock of salvation. Yakni'u Bezorim, they would provoke his jealousy with strangers. Besuevos Yachisu, with abominations, they would anger him. Yizbechu Lashedim, Lo Eloha, they would slaughter to demons without power. Elohim Lo Yodou, to gods that they did not know. Clearly, most of the Shira is dealing of us committing idolatry. And prophetically, they already knew that Yeshua will not take care of this, that Yeshua will not pray for that. Therefore, here, where it's talking about this prophecy, they already removed the Yud from the name of Yeshua for the same reason, that Yeshua should have known as soon as he comes into the land to pray that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed. Here, where Yeshua is testifying about the Shiras Azinu, where most of the Shira discusses how we left Hashem, how we did evil inclination, therefore, Yeshua is to blame that we are going to follow and make the mistakes of the Shiras Azinu. Therefore, when he's discussing Shiras Azinu, Hashem already removed the Yud from the name of Yeshua, because Hashem already knows that Yeshua is not going to pray for the evil inclination of idolatry to be abolished. Before we give another answer of why it's written here, Hoshea bin Nun, it's important for us to realize a lesson that we could take from that Gemara. The Gemara there blames Yehoshua for the evil inclination of idolatry because Yehoshua did not pray to cancel out. Meaning, even though Yehoshua did not create the evil inclination of idolatry, but the fact that he did not pray for it to cease, for it to cancel out, it is considered as he would have brought that evil inclination. The same thing we could say for us when we see somebody sick and we do not pray for his sickness to cease, that it will be tantamount as we would have brought the sickness ourselves. In the same way that Yeshua was blamed for not canceling out the evil inclination of idolatry, we could be blamed for not canceling out the sickness that somebody else has. That if we could pray for another person, and maybe that prayer would take effect, and we do not pray, then we are guilty for that person's suffering, or for somebody else not having parnasa, or for somebody else not having anything that he needs, from the fact that we did not pray for them. I wanted to give an answer for the reason why it's written in Hoshea bin Nun, based on a Gemara in Ervin, Daf Samach Gimel Omed Aleph 63a, and also based on Medrashim. The Gemara there says that Rabbi Lezer says, Loimeisu b'nei Aharon, the only reason the children of Aharon died, ad she'oiru alocha b'fnei Moshe Rabam, that the reason that they died is because they ruled in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, Nadav v'Avihu made a ruling on themselves. Moshe Rabbeinu was present. They should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact that they ruled by themselves was considered a dishonor to Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, they were liable for death. And Rabbi Lezer holds that that is the reason why they died. The Gemara continues on and says, the Talmud Echad Oyre Rabbi Lezer, Shohoyre Alocha Befonav, there was a student in front of Rabbi Lezer that ruled in front of him, meaning even though the rule was right, he ruled in front of him. Omar Rabbi Lezer Le'ima Sholem Ishtoy. Rabbi Lezer said to his wife, Ima Sholem, Tami Ani Im Yoitzi Zesh Nosoy, I wonder if this person is going to live through the year. And what happened? Velo Yoitzi Shnosoy, and he did not live through the year. Omru Loi, the wife asked him, Loviato, are you a prophet? How did you know that this person is going to die? Omar La, he told her, Loi Novi Anoichi, Veloi Ben Novi Anoichi, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not a son of a prophet. Elokach Mekublani, I have a tradition, Kol Hamoir Alocha Lifnei Raboi, that anybody who rules in front of his rabbi, Chayev Misa, is liable for death. Meaning that somebody rules in front of his rabbi is liable for death. The Medrash Tanchuma says that Yehoshua bin Nun was also a person that ruled in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash Tanchuma is in Parshas Tetzaveh, Simen Tes. There, the Medrash is wondering why Yehoshua only lived 110 years and did not live 120 years. So the Medrash answers, Bishvil she'omar lifnei Moshe Raboy asara dvorim, because Yehoshua spoke 10 words in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and those 10 words are in Bamidbar chapter 11, verse number 28, where the Pasuk says there, Vayan Yoshua Binun Meshores Moshe Bahurov, and Yoshua Binun, the servant of Moshe from his youth, answered Vayoimer, and he said, Adoni Moshe Kiloim, my master Moshe destroyed them. When Eldad and Medad were prophesizing, Yoshua told Moshe Rabbeinu to destroy them. That was considered disrespectful to Moshe Rabbeinu, because he should have asked for Moshe Rabbeinu what to do, not tell Moshe Rabbeinu to destroy them. Since Yoshua used 10 words in that statement, therefore it was deduced from his life 10 years. In truth, I counted the words written in the Pasuk, I end up having 11. I don't know exactly which of the words the Medrash is removing, which of the words was proper and which of the words were not proper. But nonetheless, the Medrash says that because of the 10 words that Yoshua spoke disrespectfully to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was deduced from his life 10 years. According to this, I wanted to say that this is what happened by Yoshua, meaning that Hoshea ben Nun had spoken disrespectfully to Moshe Rabbeinu. And as we see from the Gemara of Rabbi Elezer, if somebody is Hoire Alocha Lifnei Raboi, somebody who rules in front of his Rabbi, he is Chayev Misa, is liable for death. So technically, Yoshua would have been liable for death. But Moshe Rabbeinu, in his great chesed, decided that he is going to change the name of Hoshea ben Nun to Yehoshua, and he specifically picked Yehoshua because the Yud is numerical value 10, and those 10 words that Yoshua spoke badly against Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was hinting to Yehoshua that he was Moichlim, that he was forgiving him. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea ben Nun Yehoshua by adding the Yud to his name, by showing him that you made a mistake and I'm forgiving you for the 10 words that you misspoke in front of me. Yehoshua needed the protection of that youth for all the years. But now, at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, when Yehoshua is going to become the leader, Yehoshua doesn't need the protection anymore of the youth. Because Rashi brings down in Parshas Vayishlach on chapter 36, verse number 3 of Bereshis, where Esav married Basmas, the daughter of Ishmael. Rashi asks why she called Basmas, when we see previously on chapter 28, verse number 9, it's written that Esav married Machlas. Rashi brings a source for the Medrash in Shmuel, which says that three people we forgive their sins, and they are Gershon is Gair, a person that converts, all his sins are forgiven. Va'oile Ligdula, somebody who goes up to a position of prominence, his sins are forgiven. Va'noise Isha, and somebody who marries a woman. And since Esav was marrying Basmas, and all his sin was forgiven, therefore they call her Machlas from the language forgiven. But one of the three that's written in Russia is a Oile Ligdula, somebody who goes to a position of prominence, which means somebody who becomes a leader of the Jewish people, all his sins were forgiven. And in our case, since Yoshua here was going up to a position of prominence, then all his sins were forgiven. Therefore, I wanted to say that here it could be written, Hu veHoshea ben Nun, he and Hoshea ben Nun, he doesn't have to have the youth to protect him anymore, because since he's going to a position of prominence, and somebody who goes to a position of prominence has his sins forgiven, therefore Yoshua doesn't need the protection of the youth anymore, and it could be written here, Hoshea ben Nun, in his original name. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in these days we should all pray for each other. If we pray for each other and feel the plight of each other, then we'll create Ahavas Chinam. And if we create Ahavas Chinam, we counteract the reason for the destruction of the temple. Will merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'imheira b'yomeinu, Amen.